Diamond crown. Let us sing. I'm gonna trade my earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. I'll join him in that land where tears no sorrows can be found. And when I receive a mansion, man. Well, I want my brand new mansion, Lord, my robe and my, 'cause in glory there you know that peace and love will always up and forever let me be your throne surround. And Lord, please reserve a mansion, robe and crown. Well, the weather there is always fair, there's sunshine day, and you know no cold, no rain will fall there, and for the sun shines ever bright, and I'll need no heavy garment. I'll just wrap my robe around, and when I want a robe, well, I want my brand new mansion, Lord, my robe and my, 'cause in glory there you know peace and love will always and forever let me be your throne surround. And Lord, please reserve a mansion robe and crown. Well, my head is bowed and bloody now from the work that I tried to, but one day, Lord, I'll be rewarded with the crown so bright and new. I'll wear a smile so bright, there'll be no cause for a frown. And when I want my robe, well, I want my brand new mansion, Lord, my robe and my, 'cause in glory there you know peace and love will always and forever let me be your throne surround. And Lord, please reserve a mansion robe and crown.
Proverbs chapter 17, verses 16 and 24. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. Amen. I want to say good morning to you, and whether you're a member of this Franklin family, whether you're a visitor or virtual guest, I'm grateful that you are here today and grateful that God has brought us together to get an opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those that be the saints of God. I shall open our Bibles to the book of James. My invitation is for you to join me there, as these verses will serve as a context for today's lesson, Why Wisdom? James chapter 1 will be the context for today's lesson, and the lesson title is Why Wisdom? Why Wisdom? You know, for a long time, there are a lot of signs that people say are a result of wisdom. Some people say that gray hair is a sign of wisdom, and I don't know if that's true or not, but some need to shave their gray hairs off, amen? Some people look at a child and they say that a child is wise beyond their years, and I don't know if that's so at all either. And some people say that you've just grown to be a wise old owl. I've never knew any owl that was wise, amen? You know, when we look into the Bible, God gives us answers for all things that are on our hearts, if we indeed are on the search of those things out. And this morning from the book of James, I want to look at these particular scriptures with some fresh eyes and see if we can glean from these scriptures some things that we long for in our lives, things that we need, things that we may have never even saw before. So James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, the Bible opens up and says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You know, in verse number 5, it's incredible how James starts this off. He says that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Let's just start right here, because this is the most basic and simplest thing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And there are probably a lot of things that we ask God for. A lot of things we ask him for, especially during trials and hardships. Or we ask God, I know I do, we ask him for the trial to just stop. We ask God for the pain that's in the trial to just stop. Sometimes when in the middle of trials, we ask God to return things to the way they were, because we want certain outcomes to come from that trial. But the question this morning is from the book of James is, do we ever or have we ever asked God for wisdom? You know, I would suppose that sometimes we don't really think to ask God for wisdom during dark and difficult times, nor do we ask God for wisdom when times are at their best that they can be. Listen, there are a lot of things that cross my mind. But do we come to God and do we say, God, I need wisdom? Have we ever came to God and said that in the middle of our trials, in the middle of our just our temptations and all those things that overtake us, have we ever just stopped and said, Lord, give it to me? Lord, I need wisdom. We ask for a whole lot of things when we're praying to God in our trials. But James says, do we ever ask that question to God? We know that wisdom is not the first thing we ask God for. But James says it ought to be the first thing. It ought to be the first thing. Because if you are lacking wisdom, he says, then ask God. And this is important. It's a command that's given to us because normally we don't have the tendency to think about the need for wisdom. But I love the picture when James says to us, as many of you lack wisdom. And the question is, does anyone read this and say, well, you know, I don't need no wisdom, not me. Not me. Why do I need to have wisdom? Does anybody just read this and ask themselves the question, why should I ask God for this? I know already what I need to do. It's a tough one. What we need is humility when we ask in God for this. Because clearly there's a picture of humility on display here that enables you to realize that in good times or bad times, I need wisdom. I need God's help. I need God's direction. And while we certainly gain wisdom from reading and learning from God's word, I want us to see that we can pray to God to give us wisdom, the wisdom we need to navigate our present life circumstances. No matter what state that I'm in, I need God's direction. I need wisdom. Because too many people are having good times in their lives. They don't even think about God or the need for wisdom. And when the bad times come in their lives, they pray to God and ask for everything except wisdom. That's what James is talking about. We're going to look at this with fresh eyes. We've read it over and over and over again all of our lives. Look at what James is saying. James is saying that we need to get on our knees, pour our hearts out, and ask God for what we never asked him for. Ask him for wisdom. I need your direction, God. And this command doesn't, it isn't anything new. It echoes a bit of the Old Testament. It comes from the words of Solomon, who God came to, and God says, listen, you can ask me for anything, and I'll give it to you. Isn't that incredible? Wouldn't it be wonderful if God says, listen, just in person, in front of your face, you can ask me for anything that you want, and I will give it to you. That's the situation that Solomon was in. And he understood the task that was before him in leading God's people. So then here comes Solomon. He comes to God and he says, here is my request. In all humility, because we need that, in all humility, ask God for the wisdom to govern your people. And we are told that the Lord was pleased with Solomon's response, because that's what we need when we come to God. We need that kind of humility. We need that kind of heart that God is looking for in the middle of a trial. Let me tell you something. All of us are going to go through something. Whether you're 6 or 16, 16 or 60, everybody's going to go through something, whether it's good or bad. And all James is saying, in the middle of your trial, it would please the Lord if you would ask him for wisdom. Ask him for wisdom when you don't know left from right. Ask God for wisdom when you don't know up from down. Ask God for wisdom when your life turns upside down. In fact, James says, the command sets up the need for humility when we're making a request. Too many times we come to God and we are proud and knowing nothing, and we want to ask God for everything except the things that are according to his will. Do any of you lack wisdom? Does anyone in this building this morning, do you lack wisdom? Everyone in the building ought to say, yes, I need wisdom. And I especially need wisdom during trials. There's trials in our lives right now, some we can't even speak of. And some we are too ashamed to speak of. But we ought to at least speak to God about it, because he's the only one that can help us with it. Sure, there are people who can give you good advice on just about anything. The world says that you just go seek out this sage and he'll tell you everything that you need to know about the wisdom. But it's wisdom of the world. It's not the wisdom that comes from God. In the middle of a trial, it would please God if we would just ask him for wisdom. Yes, I need it. I need wisdom. You need wisdom as a father. You need wisdom as a spouse. You need wisdom as a friend. You need wisdom as a child of God. I need it. I need it. Especially, I need wisdom during trials. The thing we need for life, what we need for our life, and especially for life's hardships, is that one thing that we don't ask God for. It's wisdom. We know we don't ask him for it. Because if we did, we would be wise beyond our years, but we're not. We're not. We need to know and understand that we need wisdom, and we need to ask God for that wisdom. So why wisdom? Why wisdom? Why are we asking God for wisdom to know how to go forward in our lives? That's what we need to do. Sometimes there's a tendency to ask God for all the wrong things. And what we do, what we say to God all the time, is I'm going through all this. Lord, I just wish it was the way it used to be. We have a phrase that we say all the time. I wish I can go back to the good old. Everybody wants to, when something happens in their lives, they want to go back to the good old days. But I don't care what's going on in my life. I don't want to go back there because I got to raise my children again. Don't want to do that. They're grown now. Thank God for that. Everybody wants to go back to the good old days. But I want you to listen to what the teacher of Ecclesiastes writes about wisdom in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 10 through 13. Look what he says. I know you might not have known it was in here. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Wisdom is as good as an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money, and the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to the one who possesses it. Consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? So here's the tendency. Our tendency can be in times of trials that things were so much better back then. Don't we feel that in our hearts and minds? We always feel like things were so much better back then. And that God, listen, you need to put it back the way it was, because I like it the way that it was. But the ecclesiastical writer says here, it is not wisdom to glamorize your past. Too many of us are living in the past. How are you going to ever get to heaven? We living in the past. It's not from wisdom, the ecclesiastical writer says, that we just want to go back to the good old days. In fact, if you think about it, it wasn't as good as you thought. It wasn't as good as you thought, so we ought to stop living in the past, because that's not God's goal for our lives. When we have wisdom, wisdom gives us the understanding that we need to go forward. Notice what he says in verse 13. We are told to consider the work of God, because no one can straighten what God has made crooked. Listen, you're not going to fix what God has bent. And the goal in trials is not to go back and straighten, but to go forward with God's wisdom. Because there's some things in your life, listen to me, there's some things in your life that you have made messy. Yes, you have. You've messed it up. And they are going to stay messy, right? Because you can't straighten them. We got some messy things in our lives. We just messed some stuff up. And we try to go back and fix it, but you can't straighten what God has made crooked, the ecclesiastical writer says. In fact, we waste precious time trying to fix what we very well know we can't. We meet that man, and we say, we're going to fix him. We're going to change him so that he can be what I want. We're going to fix that woman. We're going to change. You don't even have the desire to change yourself. You can't fix him. He's got to make the determination to fix himself and allow God to do that. Listen to me, married couples. You can't fix that woman. You can't fix that man. The goal in the trials that we have is not going backwards, but to go forward with God's wisdom. Because we are all broken pots. We live messy lives sometimes. We do, and we want to straighten them out. And we waste precious time trying to fix the things that we can't fix. It is what it is. It is what it is. Life has changed for all of us. In this day that we live, our life has changed. And we have things that are going on in our lives, and what we very well need to do is to pray. Listen. And let God fix it. We need to pray and allow God to fix those things in our lives. He has put us in a trial that he might refine us. Things have drastically changed, and we petition God for wisdom that we might move past it. But what we do as Christians is we dwell in it. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is the idea that we're going to move past that in Christ. Not dwelling it. We need wisdom in our lives. Why? Because we need clarity. We need direction. We need wisdom so that we not always throw away this process that God has us in. Too many of us want to just quit before God has finished what he's doing with us. So many of us want to just not be mature and complete. What I'm saying to you today is, ask God for wisdom. Ask him for it. Here's one more important consideration I want you to think about. We need to make this before we move on from this point. James doesn't say if we lack wisdom, then we need to look inside ourselves for answers. Everybody have the answer within themselves, don't they? That's not what James says. Wisdom does not come from within us. It never has. Wisdom, direction, and truth does not come from us. These things come only from God alone. The wisdom that we need comes from God, and that's why we need to ask him alone for wisdom. Doesn't come from anywhere else. You can't read 1,000 pages of literature and think that you're wise. You might be a little more intelligent, but you're not wise. Wisdom comes from God. I need you to know that. He's the only one that can give it. If you're going to experience these things in the world, you can gain a little worldly wisdom, but the wisdom that we need to save our souls only comes from God, and we need to get in a hurry to ask him for it, because we all want to go to heaven. Get in a hurry and ask God for wisdom. Why ask God? Chapter 1, verse 5. We ask God because he gives to all liberally and without reproach. He says, and it will be given to him. Why ask him? Because he gives it freely and without reproach. He gives it abundantly. James says we should ask God for wisdom. Not only does God possess all the wisdom, but he gives it generously and without reproach. There are two pieces of wonderful encouragement I see here. First of all, God gives to all generously, because God overflows with wisdom to those who ask him. He doesn't just dribble us a little bit, right? I remember when I was a little boy, and my grandpa used to ask me to go fix him some water. He just come from out of his garden, and we used to have them big jars. Remember those jars? I used to fill that jar up about a quarter full and brought it to him. He says, I should bring me some water, son. I said, well, daddy. He said, nah, you got to go back. God doesn't just dribble us a little bit. He gives us all we ask for and more when it comes to wisdom. We just need to ask him for it. Our cup is going to run over. If we just ask him, he's overflowing with wisdom, and he gives it to those who ask him. You know what he doesn't do? He doesn't hold back on it either. He doesn't hold back on wisdom that we need for life. God gives us wisdom generously, but listen to me. Here's the key. You have to ask him for it. Have you ever done that? The problem is that we think God is the problem, but the problem isn't with God. The problem is with us. It's with us. Because we think wisdom is in ourselves. We think we have all the answers. Yes, we do. We think we know what we ought to do, and as a result, we don't ask God for wisdom, and therefore never receive wisdom from God generously. Because our inclination is to just quit the trial. Who wants to go through all of that? Darkness and hurt and pain and bereavement. Who wants to go through financial hits? Who wants to go through family problems? Who wants to go through all that? Our natural inclination is to just quit the trial, to run from our problems. But James says we need steadfastness. Let patience have her good work. He says it above that, verse 4. Let patience have a good work. We are encouraged to turn to God in our trials because God gives wisdom, and he gives wisdom to us generously. The second thing I see in there is that we are told to ask God for wisdom because he gives it without reproach. You know, sometimes you go to somebody and you ask them for something, and they give it to you, and you talk about you for weeks after they gave it to you. Or you ask them for some advice about something that they know they've been doing for years, they got experience in it, and then they ask somebody else, well, who done trained him? Who done taught him? Why is he coming to me? Because you're supposed to be the wise one, but you're acting foolish with what you have. That's why. God's not going to reprimand us for asking for wisdom. He delights in our desire for wisdom from him. He's not going to rebuke us because we request to have wisdom. He's not going to find fault in us asking him for wisdom, and there's no shame in saying, listen to me, there's no shame in saying, I need wisdom. We need it. When is the last time you said that or asked God for that? We need wisdom to move forward in our lives, in the church, at our jobs. We need that. And we ask God for everything and nothing, but we never ask him for wisdom. Never. I need it. I need wisdom. And when we ask God for it, he's going to hear us, and he's going to fulfill our requests. Here's my question for you. How often have you made that prayer? How often have you made that prayer, that request to God for wisdom? You don't have to raise your hand up at all, because I know you never did it. We ask him for everything else. Lord, get me out of this trial. Lord, you know my car's in this ditch. Send me a wrecker. We want everything except... Why? Why wisdom? Why? Let's move on to verse number 6. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. James says that we need to ask God for wisdom and faith. Listen to what he says. Without doubting. Without doubting. It's important to be clear about what James is saying here, because some people think that when he talks about doubting, that it's something else, right? But here's what he's saying. He's not telling us that we can never have doubts about our life or doubts about our faith. If we look at the context of these two verses, what James is telling us is that we should never doubt the character of God. That's what he's saying. And when we ask in that manner, we doubt the very God that we asking for something. Daddy, can I have $2? Well, I'm asking for it, but I doubt if you're giving him $2. Well, why are you asking him for it then? Amen. We are doubting the character of God is what James says. God's character is that he possesses wisdom and he will give it to us if we ask for it. And here's the big idea behind all of that. He is not against you in your trials. He's not trying to destroy you. God gives us wisdom we need without reproach that we might overcome the trial in our lives. Can't do it by yourself. And a lot of us have tried, and we're still in the same situation. Still the same old grumpy old man or grumpy old woman. And don't want nobody to talk to us because we're going through something that we certainly can't fix. But we never ask God to help us to fix it, because our heart is not right as we approach God. That's why. God is going to give you wisdom. He's going to give it to you without reproach. God is going to give you wisdom. He's going to give it to you generously. I wish I didn't have to preach this sermon. I wish that all of us were filled with wisdom already. All of us were beating the door down at God's throne and asking for wisdom, but we're not. Not. And that's why I'm encouraging you to do that. When was the last time that you made that prayer? When? So what are we doubting? We're doubting that God's going to help us. What are we doubting? We're doubting that God's going to give us wisdom. What are we doubting? We're doubting that God even cares. God, do you even care that I'm in this situation? Why me? We're doubting that God is for us. We're doubting his love. This is why James illustrates the problem in verse 6. He says, we are described as being tossed by the wind and driven by the waves of the sea when we doubt God's character. It's sloshing back and forth. We're for God one moment, then we're not for God the next moment. We're constantly switching allegiances. We love God one moment, then we love ourselves the next moment. We're flying all over the place. We're all over the place because we don't ask God to fix it. First, you're trusting God and you ask him for help. Then you stop trusting in God and you rely on yourself. You go back to trusting God and you ask for wisdom. Then you doubt his character and you stop trusting him again. We sloshing back and forth. We toss like a wave of the sea is what James is saying. We can't make up our minds because our minds are not on God. That's why he says that we're double-minded. You're double-minded and unstable in all your ways. Our commitment is a wavering commitment to the Lord. We don't have the Lord as an anchor to help us through. So we waffle back and forth between whether God is trustworthy or not. We waffle back and forth on whether we believe in God or not. That's another question you have to ask yourself is, do you believe in God? Because if you don't believe in God and his ability to deliver you, you're going to waffle back and forth all the time. Unstable in all your ways. Tossed around. Unwavering in your commitment. You're torn between two worlds. Torn between two masters. Your loyalty to God is split between him and the world. You know what we're doing? Let me put it another way, because you got nothing but commercials on TV about that if you're looking at sports. We hedging our bets. So we doing. Betting is everywhere now, right? I bet you don't want to ask God for wisdom. Let me see if I can wager that. We want worldly wisdom. We don't want godly wisdom. We try to live our lives in two directions, one towards God and one towards ourselves. That is not a wise thing to do. We take one foot and we put it in a boat that's filled with wisdom, and we take another foot and we put it in a boat that's filled with foolishness. And ultimately, it's going to just lead you in the water. You're going to fall in the water. So what James is saying, he's not saying that our normal doubts that we experience on our faith journey is what causes us problems. The problem is that we doubt the character of God, whether we can trust him, whether he is for us, whether he will help us, and whether he will give us the wisdom that we need. What James is simply asking us to do is to believe in God. That's all he's saying. And you've got to ask yourself that question this morning. We've got to stop playing church. We've got to ask ourselves, do we believe in God? And if we believe in God, do we believe that God will deliver us? Do we believe that the trial that we're going through, that God is standing right there beside us and walking us through this trial that he might deliver us? You know, that's what Jesus said in the mountain message in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. He says, ask, it will be given unto you. And when he said this, he was illustrating the same point about trusting the character of God. Listen to what he said in these rhetorical questions in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. He says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? But we doubt God's character. But we doubt the promises of God. We doubt that he will give us wisdom generously when we ask him. Why? God is faithful in all his promises. All we have to do is ask for it. In James chapter 7, chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, he says this, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So what's the point here? The fact of the matter is that living the life with a wavering commitment to the Lord will lead you to an unstable life. This is going to happen. This is what James says in verse 8. This person will be unstable in all his ways, and instability in life does not come from trials. Instability in life comes from not fully trusting in God. Instability in life comes from doubting the character of God. Instability comes because you're being tossed between two opinions, trusting in God and looking for his wisdom, and trusting in yourself and looking at your own wisdom. Instability comes when we do not see that God is for us and is producing in us spiritual maturity to see us through that trial. And people do this all the time. People go to the doctor's office. They have an illness. The doctor examines them, tell them what the illness is, prescribes medication, and how to get it better. On our way home, we're Googling and we're looking at the internet. And we're saying to ourselves, you know what that doctor said, I'm not going to do that. The doctor's got all experience, and that's what you went to the doctor for, so you can receive the wisdom that doctor has for you, that you might be healed. But what do? We rely on our own wisdom. AI might even have an answer for you now. And we don't trust what the doctor has said to us. We don't trust the wisdom. We ask for the wisdom from the doctor, gives it to us, and we abandon the wisdom. Isn't that incredible? This is what God is saying to us in verse 7. We should not expect to receive anything from the Lord if we don't trust him. Not one thing. You certainly won't be healed. We're not trusting his directions. We're not trusting him for solutions. We're not ultimately looking to God for wisdom. We say we want his wisdom. We say we want his help. But we're doubting the character of God and we're looking to ourselves instead. When that happens, life will therefore be filled with instability. What God is trying to tell us through James is that a lack of wisdom for life is not caused by God, it's caused by me. It's caused by you. You caused the instability, not God. We're the reason that we don't have God's generous wisdom for our trials, because we never asked for it. We're the reason we don't have is the wisdom that comes from God, because we doubt him and can't receive what he's trying to give us because we're rejecting his wisdom. Let me tell you one thing. We have to have and we have to want what God gives us. You got to want it and you got to have it. And he says, I'm going to give it to you in the simplest terms. If you want it, just ask me for it. Because when we don't, we find ourselves feeling unstable in life, and especially during trials. It tells us that we're not grounded in God as the anchor of hope for our lives. Our hope is not in Christ at all. Our hope is in ourselves. Here we go. If a trial wrecks us, if a trial wrecks our life, it's showing that our trust was placed somewhere else besides the good character of God. If it wrecks us, if a trial obliterates our faith, if it takes away the faith of our life from God, then it shows that we had our hope somewhere else. And God has a fine way of knowing whether we've idolized ourselves or not. He has a fine way of identifying idols in our life. He has a fine way of knowing the things that we've grabbed and that we're holding on to and don't want to let go because we need to hold on to him. He has a fine way of knowing that. We've got to let the world go and the wisdom of the world stop holding on to it until our knuckles turn white. Let it go and let's hold on to God. That's where the wisdom comes from. Let go of the world. We suffered enough already. The world is going to give us more suffering. We've got to ask God for wisdom in our trials, in our suffering, so that we can be delivered. And some folks, well, you know, Brother Collins, I don't know if I can ask God for that. And I want to tell you this morning that it's not too late. It's never too late. We have to come to know the character of God and who he is. God is worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our listening to because he is for us. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for wisdom and he will give it to you generously and without reproach. Listen to me. Whether you've just been married, I've been married for 60 years. Whether you just become friends or you've had friends for 60 years, God will give you the help that you need when you're confused about those relationships. But we've got to turn to him for wisdom to be able to solve those difficulties. Let him fix it. You can't fix it. We live messy lives, and we continue to pile mess on top of mess. And we never attempt to clean any of it up because we can't. You can't make straight what God has made crooked. God can fix it, though. But you got to ask him for wisdom to do it. Because we just a confused lot of people. We think we wise, but the world tells us we wise, and we buy into that. Child's 5 years old. Oh, he's wise beyond his years. No, he's not. He don't even know what an onomatopoeia is. Not wise. I want to read to you just one more thing. Thank God for his word. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. Let it come to life for you. I need you to, it's not on the on board. Just listen to this. Wrap your mind's eye around this. James chapter 3, 13 through 17 in the Amplified Version of the Bible says this. Who among you is wise and intelligent? Let him by his good conduct show his good deeds with the gentleness and humility of true wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be arrogant, and as a result, be in defiance of the truth. This superficial wisdom is not which comes down from above, but it's earthly, secular, natural, unspiritual, and even demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder, unrest, rebellion, and every evil thing and morally degrading practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, morally and spiritually undefiled, then peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle, reasonable, and willing to listen. It's full of compassion and good fruits. The wisdom that comes from God, James says, is unwavering, without self-righteousness, without hypocrisy, and without self-serving guile. You ever ask God for wisdom? Because if you did, these things wouldn't even be a part of your life. Why wisdom? Why wisdom? Because God is worthy of our trust, and it is in his wisdom that's going to carry us to the other side. Not our own wisdom. Our wisdom doesn't take us anywhere. Where are you now? The young king decided he was going to ask his friends how to rule over God's people instead of the people that had been living there for years and had experience with his father. And he listened to his friends. There was a lot of chaos in the kingdom. As a matter of fact, the kingdom split as a result of that. Don't be split in your loyalty to God. Don't be split. If you will believe in God and turn away from yourself, if you believe in him and turn away from sin, our God will save you. He will save you. One more scripture. One more. From John the Revelator in Revelation chapter 3. Listen to God. Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. As many as I love, you're going to go through some trials in your life. You're going to go through some things. Therefore, I want you to be filled with zeal, and I want you to repent. Because behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. He says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down my father on his throne. You want to overcome things in your life that's going on that just seems to just never end? That's just perpetual. It happens again and again and again. Ask God for wisdom and see what happens to you. Ask him for it and he will give it to you, and you're going to turn your life around. Wisdom for salvation. Wisdom for righteousness. Wisdom to love those who are closest to you better than we are doing right now. Because we say we love our brother, our sister, our wife, our family with our mouths, but our actions, we need wisdom from God to be able to love like God loves. Wisdom comes from nowhere else but God, and you can only get it by asking him. The question is this morning, will you ask him? Have you ever asked him? When are you going to make that prayer? He's listening right now. My plea to you is, if your soul isn't saved, ask God for wisdom to know the difference in salvation and being lost. And he'll show you. And he'll send somebody your way that they might help deliver your soul from the clutches of Satan. It's a wise thing to do. The question is, will you do it? Are you wise enough to do it? We got to hear God's word. We got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the true and living God. We got to repent of our sins and confess Christ with our mouths and with our lives. We've got to speak it. It's a heart matter. We got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, where God circumcises our heart, takes our sins away, and allows us to see Christ as he was on that cross, crucified for you and I, that we might have life. Be buried with Christ in baptism and be raised as like he was raised from the dead and walk in the newness of life. Put on Christ in baptism and be for God what he's called you to be, and be added to the church that he purchased with his own blood. It's the most simplest thing. If any of you lack wisdom, Let him ask God. If we can help you with that today, Lord, come as we stand and sing God's invitation song.
Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door.
Whether one day to respond to the gospel of Christ, will you be wise enough to step away from Satan and be baptized into Christ?
Why don't you answer? Somebody's knocking at your door.
Will you come? Will you respond to the gospel today? God is waiting.
It knocks like Jesus. Somebody's knocking at your door. It knocks like Jesus. Somebody's knocking at your door. And oh, oh sinner, why don't you answer? Somebody's knocking at your door.